Welcome to this episode of Above the Clouds. Today we will look at the qualities of the soul which are revealed to someone who becomes an expert spiritual geologist. There's a verse. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold, and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Prabhupada clarifies, as an expert mineralogist or geologist can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore, an expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. When you do spiritual archaeology, what do you find? Srila Jiva Goswami provides in the Paramatma Sandarbha a list of 21 qualities of the self. I will recite from seventh quality onwards. The self is self-luminous, of one form, means a spiritual form, situated in its own essential nature, conscious, pervades the body, intrinsically of the nature of consciousness and bliss. In the Padma Purana, it is very clearly stated what is the cause of the bliss of the soul. Here it says, he is constitutionally a servant of Bhagavan Hari only and never of anyone else. When you do spiritual archaeology and go deeper and deeper and deeper to try to understand who you are, when everything is removed that you are not, you will find a servant of Krishna. You will find a soul that is no one's servant except for Krishna. This, in the conditioned soul, is a little bit covered, just like the light of a jewel is covered and not visible when there is a layer of mud over it. In other words, when the self is mud-caked by material existence, its natural qualities of being a servant of Krishna and having a relationship of blissful love is not so manifest, and you need to see how you can create the right environment. Today I spoke to a devotee who's been practicing Krishna consciousness for slightly more than 20 years. In the beginning, this devotee was very enthusiastic, but then when he married and got two children, the devotee became very engaged and providing for the livelihood of his little growing family. And now, where the children are up and no longer so dependent, the devotee asked me, how can I again return to this blissful experience where one is exclusively thinking of Krishna, where the body is exclusively engaged in the service of Krishna, and where the speech is used for either chanting the holy name or speaking Krishna's glories. And I suggested, go on pilgrimage, because when you change, or let me say it like this, when you stay always in the same place, you tend to do the same activities and think similar thoughts. But if you change the environment to that of a totally spiritual environment, like a place of pilgrimage provides, then you will tend to think different thoughts, do different activities. So by providing the right environment, the nature of the soul, which is a blissful servant of Krishna, comes forth. And I gave the devotee an example. Consider a snake that is born in captivity. He never has seen the world behind the bars of his cage. Then one day, someone comes, opens the cage door, and helps the swan to go out. He guides the swan, maybe by providing some tasty swan food, along a path that leads to a lake. Now, the swan has never seen the lake of water. It has never seen reeds, lotus flowers. But the moment it takes to the water, it knows what to do. It seems as if something that was lying dormant is awakened, and now the swan knows how to swim, it knows how to find its food, and everything else which is required. The same thing can happen when we change our atmosphere and go into a spiritual, nourishing atmosphere like that which we find in a place of pilgrimage. It seems at that time our natural qualities come forth, our strength comes forth, and our spiritual wealth, which is love, and our knowledge what to do is also coming forth. Today is the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra. We have heard many times about the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. In the Bhagavatam, we find a verse which says how beneficial it is to hear about the characteristics and pastimes of the Lord. It really frees one from the mud-caked layers that cover the soul, and it sets one up for a spiritual life. This is the verse which describes the benefit of hearing about Ram. Anyone who orally receives the narrations of Lord Ramachandra's characteristics and pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. This is the great disease of the world. Everyone is envious on the success of others, even spiritual life. Sometimes devotees are envious of another devotee who seems to be more accomplished in his spiritual activities or his service. To envy a devotee is a Vaishnava aparad. And to remain an envious devotee means to remain stuck in the bodily conception of life, where one is not freed from the bondage of repeated birth and death. Someone who is envious cannot enter the Lord's eternal pastimes. However, when we advance in devotion, we immediately understand, I'm protected by the Lord. Just as the devotee, the other devotees and the other people are all in the merciful hand of the Lord, protected by his energy. And at that time, it is not possible to be envious of everyone, of anyone. So by hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, one is immediately eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. I once asked a sadhu, what are the qualities which a devotee should develop who wants to be with Krishna always? And the sadhu who lived in Vrindavan said, there are three things you must know if you want to stay in the earthly Vrindavan. If you know these three things, you qualify for the spiritual Vrindavan, the eternal Vrindavan in the spiritual world, I meant to say. The first thing is, you realize that everything, animate or inanimate, has Krishna's part or angsa in it. Without Krishna's energy, without a part of Krishna, nothing could exist. And without Krishna, you could not perceive. You need Krishna's presence in the heart in order to see. He is in fact the one who sees first. The second point is, for someone who practices to live in the eternal spiritual world, is to understand whatever happens, it is Krishna's pastime of teaching you, or Krishna's pastime of being kind to, of elevating the conditioned souls. And the third quality for someone who wishes to live in Vrindavan here and then in the eternal Vrindavan is that he understands, I and everything related to me must be used in Krishna's service. When you can adopt these three principles, these three spiritual principles of the blissful servant of Lord Hari, your residence in Vrindavan will be successful, and you will be going to the eternal spiritual Vrindavan. Whenever the Lord appears, either as Krishna, Rama, or Nrisimha, the Lord always wants to liberate us from the entanglement in material existence and teach us how to live the life of the soul. I thank you very much, and I wish you all the best, and see you very soon for the next Above the Clouds.